Morning, and welcome to Living Hope Presbyterian Church. We're thankful all of you can be here this morning, and we invite you to rejoice with us as we look into God's Word today. I have several announcements that I have to make. The first of which, on August 9th, which is this Friday, from 10:30 to noon, the ladies will have their coffee and conversation meeting at the home of Barbara Sloan, and the address is in the bulletin. The following Saturday, on August 10th at 7:45, the men will meet for their fellowship breakfast at Josie's on Wade Hampton. That's going south on Wade Hampton, a block or two below Target. So the church provides the meal, and we always have good conversation and fellowship together there. Sunday, August 25th, we have the Home at Hope, at Home with Hope, at Pastor Steve and Janie's house, and it's a week later this month. It's usually the third Sunday, but because of the summer and schedules and so forth, we're putting it off until August 25th. The evening service will be at Pastor Steve and Janie's house. Pastor Steve and Janie are in Tacoma, Washington, for our denomination's synod, and they will be returning back to Greenville on this week. And I'm going to pray for them. And we have a special note from our pastor and the session. Let me read it to you. We are very pleased to announce that Tony Chambers has been nominated, examined, and approved by the session to be an elder at Living Hope. On Sunday, August 11th, that's next Sunday morning, we will have a congregational meeting to vote Tony in or out, and all our members are invited to attend and vote. If you are not a member, you are welcome to stay and watch the proceedings, but you are not able to vote until you become a member. So we would encourage all of you to be here. And our ministry in prayer for this week is Casey Sutherland and PMU. Casey is the Presbyterian Director of Presbyterian Missions Union, and he, I believe he is speaking in Tacoma once during the synod. So we want to pray for Casey, his wife Kelly, as they minister to the synod and to all of us. Okay, now let us gather for worship. This morning's call to worship is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. And I would invite you to stand and take your red hymnal, the Trinity hymnal, and turn to hymn number 591, Jesus Calls Us.
Yeah.
Now you turn in your black book, which is under the seat, to number 27.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring Him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease, but follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of His grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call, the truth that cries to every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
Please be seated. And now we'd like our ushers to collect the morning offering, and we will pray about that in a moment. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have gathered us here today to worship you. You are the great God. You are the great King. You are Lord and Master of all. We thank you, Lord, for that. We're thankful for God the Holy Spirit, who by his grace has called us into repentance and rejection and turning from sin and embracing your love of the free offer of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray for this morning's message and the message again tonight, that you would glorify yourself most of all, that all of us would see what our duties are in Christ, and tonight on how we can understand better how you can both love and hate. We pray for Pastor Steve and Janie and Tacoma and for the Synod proper, that you would give them wisdom and discernment in the decisions that they have to make. And through the preaching of the word this morning and the gathering of that assembly, that you would be glorified, that your servants, your pastors, your leaders, your elders of our denomination would be strengthened and encouraged and leave Tacoma with a new spirit and a new fervor to serve you. We pray for all those that are sick and ill and who would like to be here but can't. We pray that if they join us on the internet or by other means, that you would give them the grace of encouragement and the instruction that you would have for them through what we will be speaking on this morning. We pray for all those that are traveling, most certainly Pastor Steve and Janie as they return this week, that you would get them back safely, give them the rest they need because of the time change and the travel and the stress of the duties that they had to perform while they were there, and return them safely to us. For other people who are traveling back to Greenville or maybe from Greenville on vacation someplace, give them journeying mercies, Lord. Protect them from people who should not be driving, from people who are careless or inattentive, and bring them back to us safely. We ask, Lord, for our country. We're in bad shape, Lord. And we know it, and you know it. And we know that there are men and women who are desperately trying to return us to the narrow way, the straight way of righteousness and holiness and truth. And we pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them and lead them. Give them the victory, Lord. Defeat evil. We will see in this morning message where you did defeat evil through the means of one man because of his obedience to you. So we pray for our church, for safety, for all churches around the world, for safety, for persecuted churches, and for all our missionaries, especially the Sutherlands that are leading the PMU, and give them grace and wisdom. Enable Andy Yong to get his federal paperwork approved and returned so he can return to the pulpit, and strengthen all the other missionaries that our church supports and prays for. We ask your blessing upon this message this morning, Lord. Most of all, we pray that you would glorify yourself, that you would show us what you expect of us as your children. And we pray for the offering, Lord. It's a debt we owe that we cannot repay. Spiritually, through Christ Jesus, we're thankful for his redeeming love, and we ask that you would take the funds that we gathered this morning and use them to continue the work in this church, and bless it and multiply it, Lord, and glorify yourself through it. We ask now that you would bless us as we go forward, in Christ's name, amen. Now, if you'd remain seated, please, and take your red hymn book, the Trinity Hymnal, and turn to page 869. We have two questions from our shorter catechism. I will read the question, and then we will all read the response. The first question is question number 3 on page 869. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach that man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And if you turn over a couple of pages to page 872, we'll read question 39. What is the duty which God requires of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will. Thank you. Now, as is our custom, we will pray briefly for ourselves, for our pastor, for those around us, for those in general that need our prayers, that God would come to us and speak to us in the message that he has for us. Let us pray. Father, we are gathered here in your name, confident of your presence with us, and we ask that you would bless all these things that we have just prayed for. Give us teachable hearts, and help me with my presentation of your message this morning, and enable us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ thereby. We pray for all those who are struggling with burdens that we have no knowledge of, that you would give them grace and peace and direction in the resolution of those. And we pray for your church in general for continued grace and mercy. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Seems that I've got the liturgy a little bit out of order here this morning. We'll be reading verses 7 through 10 in Luke chapter 17. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now, sit down and eat"? Wouldn't he rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink"? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Now, the last time I had the privilege of leading Sunday worship, I spoke on Psalm 1. And what a blessing was and what a blessing is. Blessings are God's gifts to us that we cannot earn. We can't do anything to earn them. Some blessings are totally unplanned for and unexpected. They just arrive. Some are grace provided as a result of our cheerful obedience. And some are just demonstrations of a merciful and loving God. In relation to getting blessings, today our lesson will examine and encourage us in what is the duty of a Christian? How do we fulfill our duty? And what can we expect as a result of doing our duty? Now, does anybody know who made this quote? Duty is the most beautiful word in the English language. It was General Robert E. Lee. And to the best of my knowledge, He was the only cadet in the history of West Point that did all 4 years without earning a single demerit. General Lee knew what duty was. In the Greek here, in our passage this morning, the word duty is ophelio. And what it means is to be in debt to somebody. Now, this is illustrated in Matthew 18, verses 28 to 30, where the lender came to the borrower and grabbed him and said, "Pay me the 100 denarii you owe me." And the borrower said, "I can't." And the lender said, "Okay, you're going to prison, pal." And he did. He was put in prison because he could not pay the debt he owed. In Luke 16, verses 5 through 7, Jesus commends the wise, the shrewd steward who said, "Take your bill for 100 measures of oil and make it 50. He was being wise. He was being shrewd because the guy who owed for the 100 measures of oil could not pay for it, so he reduced the bill. These, as in other passages, indicate a responsibility to or a function of one's position, as we read in this morning passage. What is our responsibility and function as Christians? For example, Pastor Steve has a duty to our congregation. The elders have a duty. The deacons have a duty to and responsibility in their function as elders and deacons. Husbands, wives, children have a responsibility to one another. They have duties that they are required to fulfill one another for debts. Employees have a duty or a responsibility to their employer for the job that they are doing. But as a Christian, what duty is required of me as a servant? That was summarized in our call to worship this morning. "Now all has been heard," said Solomon. "Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So the first responsibility we have in fulfilling our duty is recognition and acceptance of who God is and who we are. In Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, God created man in his image and his likeness. That's mentioned twice. And then God created woman after taking Adam's rib and forming a woman and gave the woman to Adam. What did God do next? He stopped creating. There is no room in God's creation for some of the distinctions that we have created in today's culture. God is the creator. We are the created. God is the potter. We are the clay. God is the master. We are the servant. And we are commended as we fulfill our duty to do that in reverential obedience and fear. Not fear that God is going to strike us down or lower the boom on us, but a reverential respect for who he is as the master and who we are as the servant. This is illustrated in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. What is the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. Recognize who God is and who we are. This is reaffirmed in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. This contains both commands and a promise. Command, trust. That's faithful obedience. I obey God because I love him, and I don't want to disobey him or dishonor him and respect him, because as my father, as my loving father, I am capable, or I am knowledgeable of what he is capable of doing. I love him because he first loved me. We're also encouraged, do not lean on your own understanding. In Hebrew, that verb lean means propped up. Now, we've all propped something up in our lives, and God is saying, don't prop up your trust in me with your own understanding. A man thinks his way is right, but the end is in death. Okay? Trust me. Don't lean on your own understanding. And while you're doing that, acknowledge me, because I am the master. And don't forget, you are the servant. I love you more than your ability to comprehend, but I do love you. And then we have the promise, he will direct your path. He will keep you on the straight and narrow path as he goes along. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is the promise we have. We follow Christ on the path, and he will lead us. Deuteronomy chapter 6 teaches us that we are to talk about the Lord and his goodness and his love in Scripture when we stand, when we sit, when we walk, when we eat, when we talk to our children, when we talk to our grandchildren, when we talk to our friends. I thought of how you teach a child the 66 books of the Bible. In family devotions, you sit down and say, okay, children, we are going to learn the 66 books of the Bible. Oh, whoa. And we can do it. Okay, what's the first two? Genesis and Exodus. And what do you do the next night? Genesis and Exodus. What do you do the next night? Genesis and Exodus. Okay, we're going to learn the next three, which makes five, and there's a hint in there. Five is a number. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And you repeat that again and again and again until all your children, all your grandchildren learn it. And so when they go to Bible camp, or when they're having a Sunday school meeting or a lesson, and the leader, the teacher says, okay, we're going to have a sword drill. Everybody go to the book of Amos. Where's Amos? Well, that's all right after the major prophets. See, Hosea, Joel, Amos, yeah. That's where it is. And they have learned, you have taught them Scripture. This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to teach and speak of him constantly. So the first step is recognition and acceptance of God's word, of God and who he is and who we are. The second thing on fulfilling our duty is we can do that by taking simple lessons from life. Now, I went to grammar school in the 1950s. It was the civil defense era. In Boston, the air raid sirens went off every day at noon for 30 seconds or a minute. So when you heard the air raid sirens, you knew it was noontime. And at any time, the teacher would come into the classroom and say, duck and cover! What was she saying? Anybody, a few of you might remember that. It means get under your desk and cover your head because the Russians may try and bomb us. Another lesson. Now, this lesson, I've got to admit, does not apply to young ladies or young ladies in their early 20s. It applies primarily to stupid teenage boys. Okay? You can go on YouTube and you can watch a teenager soak his sneakers in the lower part of his trousers in gasoline and then say, "Hey, y'all, watch this," as he jumps over a bonfire. And he comes out on the other side of the fire and he's on fire. What do you do? Stop, drop, roll. You don't feed the fire by running. You drop to the ground, you smother what's on you, and you roll, smothering the fire out. That's a simple lesson that we can learn today. I'll give you the application in just a minute. For those of us who are mechanical types, can you remember this? Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. In the American system, when you are trying to thread things, a knot or a pipe or put something together, you turn it to the right. You turn it clockwise to seat it, to get it in. If you want to get it out or loosen it, lefty, loosey-lefty, you turn it to the left and get out. Simple lesson for a practical application. There's one other one that I think that all of us recognize that we need to see what we can learn from this scripturally. Now, where do you see? Stop. Look. Listen. At a railroad crossing. Now, you may come to the crossing on your way to church, on your way to work, going someplace. And what's the sign say? Stop. Offset red flashing lights. An alarm bell. Ding, 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 ding. Gates, barriers coming down that face traffic going across the track. You stop because you know that there's a train coming. The application there is you listen to the still small voice that God speaks to your heart that you can hear in your head. And he says, stop. This is an action by God the Holy Spirit, the one called upon to help you. When you're thinking of doing something, when you're thinking of a major purchase, for example, and something just doesn't feel right, God is saying you may want to stop. You may want to reconsider that. You may want to explore other options. Suppose someone says, "Hey, your husband's, your wife, your parents, you're out of town this week. Anything exciting planned?" Ding, 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 ding. Stop. God is telling you, don't go any further with this. I've already got plans made, and no, I'm not doing anything with you this week. We listen to the word of God and God the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 is a promise that God made to us. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Helper is the Greek word for parakletos, the one called alongside to help. "Hey, I got to carry this rug next door. Can you grab the other end of it? Can you help me? Honey, I can't reach that baking dish on the top shelf. Can you get it for me? You're a helper. God the Holy Spirit is our helper, and at times he tells us stop. Okay? What else do we see at a railroad crossing? Look. Look at the red lights. Look at the barriers. Look for a bright light down the track. Those things aren't there for laughs. If you want to see what a speeding train will do to an automobile, go on YouTube. Trains hitting cars, and you'll see. And that's what God is trying to keep from happening in your spiritual life, that Satan's train just don't roll right over you. Okay? You look for the train coming. You look for the light. Oh, really? Where do we look for the light? Right there. You have your instruction book in plain English, in several versions of plain English, that speak the truth to us. Look at Scripture and find out what God thinks about what you are about to do, what you are about to think, what you're about to say, what you're about to look at. See what he says. Stop. Look. And in Scripture, you'll find in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path, for the immediate, for the near future, and the future. A direction is in God's word. And then finally, listen. Listen to the alarm bell. Listen to the horn. You can't do that. It's more difficult to do that if you've got the air conditioner running, somebody's talking to you, and you got the radio playing, and you got earbuds in, and your mind someplace else. That's why they have the lights. That's why they have the gate. Listen for the train's whistle. Listen for the train's horn. In your growth and understanding and implementation of your Christian duties, what do we listen to? Primarily, what is preached from the pulpit. You did not come here this morning to listen to me. You do not come here on regular Sunday mornings to listen to Steve or Frank Liu or Ethan McCarter or Kevin Backus or Casey Sutherland or Andy Young. You come here to listen to what they are telling you, what God has told them to say. You listen in church and your worship service. You can listen on the radio. There are several Greenville stations that have helpful dialogue, sermons, and teaching lessons. There's a number of them that you can listen to. Just turn on the radio. Go on the internet. Type in sermons on John 14:6, and you'll get a whole list of them right there because you want to know more about what Christ meant. Type in lessons from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you'll get another whole line of things. You can look and listen to those things. You can read them on Scripture. It's an availability to you that God provides for you to grow in grace. If you can stand it, you can sing to yourself. Well, you may be the only one hearing it, and that might be acceptable. But singing songs, spiritual songs, making merry in your heart. Why? Because I am a child of the King. I am adopted. God looked at this mass of humanity and say, I want him. I want her. And he adopted us. So we listen to the messages that come over the radio and from the pulpit. Paul said this in Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We come and worship, and we listen and apply. The third and final expectation, we recognize who God is, we recognize how we fulfill our duty, and then finally, what can we expect from doing our duty? What can we expect from doing our duty, being obedient servants? If you have your Bible open to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. We will start in verse 30. The Lord The Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in executing what is right in my eyes, and have done to the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation, out to the fourth generation, shall sit on the throne of Israel. Your sons, your grandsons, your great-grandsons, your great-great-grandsons will sit on the throne of Israel because you did what I wanted. Okay? That begs the question, are we doing all that is in God's heart for us to do? I'm going to read from Matthew 25. I'm going to start there and then ask a couple of questions. Jesus speaking again, and he said, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So let me ask you, what what are you good at? What can you do well? What can you do exceptionally well? What are just a few of the many things that we have been in charge of by doing and fulfilling our Christian duty? Picking up again in Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will say and answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these my brothers, even to the least of them, You did it to me. These are just a few of the things that we practice in our Christian duty, executing that duty, doing what God wants us to do. These are the many things that we can take charge of. Isn't this us? Isn't that us fulfilling our duty? Have you ladies ever prepared a meal for somebody? And our church, we are noted for, hey, do you know anybody that needs a meal? I'd just like to tell you, if they're sick, if their children are sick, if they're all sick, if the mom just had a baby, if the dad just lost his job, no matter what the circumstances is, call me first. I want to prepare a meal. Isn't that fulfilling your duty as a Christian? How about the guys? Hey, my lawnmower is broken. Can you help me get it started again? I got a leak in my faucet. I don't know anything about plumbing. My toilet's plugged. Or there's water coming out from the base. Can you come over and help me? That's fulfilling your duty as a Christian. To be willing to serve faithfully and cheerfully when you're asked. That is our duty. What is the duty of a Christian? How do we fulfill it? And what we could expect? We have just seen that, but it's summarized in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Are we doing our duty? Are we obeying God, which is the duty of all mankind, but most especially his children? Let's pray. Our Father, you have illustrated this clearly through practical events in our lives, through Scripture, through your word, through your example, through your teaching, your very clear teaching, what we are to do. We are to love you, acknowledge you, and serve you. That is our duty, Lord. That is what we require. And we can't say, we won't say, hey, Lord, see what I did? Now can you shower me with blessings? No, we will say, Lord, I am only a servant, having done my duty. I pray that you would teach us and impress upon us our duty to you and to our brothers and sisters in Christ and in those who are without the church, in leading them, in teaching them, in loving them. We are thankful, Lord, for your grace that's contained in this message, and give us strength as we go through this week and the rest of our lives to remember our duty to you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now I would invite you to stand, take your red hymnal, and turn to number 575.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in his most and strength go on. Wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down and win the war for day.
Thank you. God bless you. Hear now God's benediction. First from Psalm 60, verse 12. With God, we will gain the victory. He will trample down our enemies. And in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him, which gives me the strength. God bless you. Have a good Lord's Day.